Hello again, my friends. I'm Father Henty, delivering a reflection on the Trinitarian Charism in St. Gaspar Bertone, the founder of the Stigmatine community. So warm word of welcome to Stigmatine Conference, to members of the Stigmatine laity, and for any wandering wayfarer who may have chanced by to listen to this conference. It's a lesson of great hope, and presently we are considering the Trinitarian dimension of the spirituality of St. Gaspar Bertone. This is lecture 22 in this series, and this will emphasize the sources. Where did he go to endure 38 years of real suffering and many, many years confined to a wheelchair and to a bed? Where did he find it? Well, we're looking at the various fonts, and presently we're looking at his devotion to the most blessed sacrament, the Eucharist. So let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray for us, O Holy Spouses, Mary and Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. So we have been considering the many letters and sermons of the early years of St. Gaspar Bertone as a priest. He wrote often to a Mother Leopoldina Naudet, a French-speaking woman, a nun, with whom he had contact for many years and assisted her in the foundation of her community called the Sisters of the Holy Family. So these letters that we are discussing were all written within a few days of each other, and it shows Father Bertone accompanying the efforts of Mother Naudet with his Mass. Just above we saw a letter of December 11th. Here we find December 14th. What was going on was she was writing up a plan for her community and spelling it out by infleshing that by different constitutions. It's a very arduous and difficult task, and he was simply encouraging her in what she was doing. For example, he wrote on December 14th, "In the meantime, Reverend Mother, I will immediately begin the Masses, and you too should begin a series of petitions, and the Lord in his goodness will not be lacking in his light for a matter that is so important for his interests." So St. Gaspar's intense Eucharistic prayer then carried over into the new year, February 3rd, 1813, 2 months later. "I will not fail to pray to the Lord in my weakness for this new undertaking of yours. And if the Lord thinks me worthy, I will begin to apply the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Prepare the way of the Lord." And he quotes Isaiah 40, Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3. This thought of his occurs so often, that of offering Mass for the apostolic mission, that it has to be considered as his usual manner of responding to the needs of the Church. We read then in letter 39, "Nor, Reverend Mother, have I failed in my own weakness to recommend this entire matter to the Lord. I offered Mass yesterday and this morning for this intention. I have such great confidence in this, and while my pride does not merit to be heard, nonetheless, a humble reverence of his Son will be graciously heard by the Heavenly Father for his greater honor and glory," the old slogan of the Society of Jesus. It pained him sorely when he was not able to further some apostolic mission with his own offering of the Mass. For example, June 4th, 1814. "I am so sorry that I cannot accompany this endeavor with the celebration of the Holy Mass. Only on Thursday will the doctor allow me even to hear Mass." Most likely Thursday of that year was Corpus Christi celebration. "Perhaps," he wrote, "you could have your sister companions, who may be free from study, help with a certain number of your prayers, more than those called by the daily schedule. In the last analysis, endeavors of this type depend most principally on prayer." When he was not able to do much less, he followed the efforts of others with his daily Mass as we see in his letter of October 13, 1815. I have followed this intention in my daily Mass, since I cannot do much more than this. This is that letter of 57, just about 3 weeks prior to his coming to the Stimmitate to begin his community of priests. So he got up from his sickbed to form the Sigmatine community, according to the mind of St. Ignatius. The Eucharist in such a special way allowed him to share in the apostolic mission of others whom he always considered more important. And he wrote in letter 106, I have not failed with my own prayer that has been asked for, and I have also given the order for other masses to be offered for this intention of ours. Now I ask also for remembrance in your prayer. When he was able to celebrate Mass in his long years of illness, his heart was always filled with joy, and he included the intentions of Mother Naudet's community in his offering, as we read in letter 186. And I immediately and still persevere in giving thanks to His Divine Majesty insofar as I can. And as long as my strength will permit, I celebrate Mass every day, offering to our Heavenly Father His most beloved Son, in whom He is well pleased. I also pray continuously that the Lord might assist you and your sage companions and daughters with His Spirit. This is how He acts with those who are chosen to undertake such tasks so that His divine glory might be realized. And this is what He waits for, that the fruit in behalf of souls might be abundant. So this offering of the Eucharist for the success of the apostolic mission is then evident in his own constitutions in number 162. He wrote, the following are the means with which our congregation promotes the salvation of others. The following, the administration of the sacraments, especially that of penance and the Eucharist, imploring from God also with the celebration of holy masses, the fruit of missions and preaching. In union with the consistent tradition of the Church, the Stigmatine founder considered the Eucharist as the most powerful means to heal the wounds of life. We pray with the Church, O Lord, say only the word, and my soul will be healed. We read in Isaiah 53:5, by His wounds ours are healed. This is the same message of 2 Peter chapter 2, by His wounds ours are healed. So this is his Sermon 17 on Frequent Communion, delivered on March 20th, 1803, almost the first day of spring. And this is what he wrote. The Eucharist is an excellent medicine of the soul. St. Ambrose, St. Augustine, and St. Bernard are all in accord in this saying that the Eucharist is an excellent medicine against sin. We could also add St. Ignatius of Loyola, who considered him, St. Ignatius of Antioch, who considered himself wheat being ground in the lion's teeth and seeing the Eucharist as a pharmacum, a medicine. St. Cyprian wrote that the chalice of the Lord does inebriate in that it leads the mind to spiritual wisdom, and that whoever partakes of it finds that his intelligences get away from the taste of this world and toward a deeper desire for God. And just as anyone who drinks earthly and common wine might find that his mind experiences some delight, and that one's spirit is built up anew and chases away all sadness in like manner, whoever tastes the salutary drink of the blood of the Lord simply loses the memory of the old man, forgets the earlier worldly conversations. Such a one sees that while he might first have experienced the oppression of sins that crushed him, now, though the joy of the gift made to him by God, sees all of his anguish resolved, his worries become much less. So based on this patristic teaching, St. Gaspar saw the Eucharist as a privileged means of trusting evermore in divine mercy and increasing one's fervor. And this is a continuation of that same homily of March 20th, 1803, on frequent communion. And even though at times one will experience total aridity and a total lack of fervor, if he will only trust in divine mercy, he will receive it confidently. The reason is that the more one thinks that he is unworthy, he will come to the realization he needs a doctor. And the medicine is his Eucharist. This is a situation of those who admit they're ill. This is a thought from St. Bonaventure, who was so inspired by the stigmata of St. Francis. Here, what the spiritual theologians would speak of is a great distinction between spiritual dullness, not caring anymore, having given up, and spiritual dryness, not getting anything out of it. Maybe we're not supposed to. Maybe this is our oblation to God. Fervor is sometimes his gift to us, but we don't pray to be gifted. We pray that they receive some consolation. We pray simply to offer to God our faith. So throughout his entire life, Father Bertone was blessed with a deep familiarity with the Eucharist, had tremendous confidence in this source of our spirituality. He went on in the same sermon. This is the invitation of the divine lover of souls. I am your father. I am your master, your friend, your brother. If you ever get sick, I'm also your doctor. I am your health, and one day I will be your beatitude in glory. So the daily participation in the Eucharist was for the Stimatine founder a great motive for hope. He wrote in the Epiphany in 1801, this is a beautiful sermon on the light from on high guiding us from the star as it did the wise men. And this is what he wrote. Not even death, whatever kind it may be, can remove love, even though in the words of the wise man in Canticles, love is as strong as death. So this lover does not pay the price for his beloved with incorruptible gold or silver, but rather with his own precious blood. And should the beloved ever fall again into the hands of an infernal enemy by lowering himself with sin, Jesus Christ will return every day in the suffering of this same victim on the altars. He has willed for his beloved, willed salvation and faith for his beloved, paid for by his blood, of which he has opened a perennial source of it in the bosom of the church. This was the name of Jesus, his third sermon that's come down to us for the second Sunday after Epiphany. So the Eucharist clearly is a very central source of the spirituality of St. Gaspar Bertone. It really is a rich, rich tradition that could be even studied more, just to collect all those texts, the many, many, almost endless texts where St. Gaspar speaks of the Eucharist. These have been a few of the texts in those documents that have been published and have come down to us and that I was able to consult. The second source of the Father Bertone spirituality, as you would imagine, is Sacred Scripture. We had a wonderful Stigmatine confrere who died prematurely, I think, from a heart attack in his early 60s. And he wrote a beautiful little study. Giuseppe Furlani was his name. Parole di Dio, Regola del Pensiero e dell'Azione del Beato Bertone. The Word of God is the rule of the thought and of the prayer of Blessed Gaspar Bertone. He published this in Rome in 1983. So quoting my old friend Father Furlani, he said, throughout his long life, St. Gaspar Bertone saw in Sacred Scripture the daily companion of him as founder. It has been remarked that perhaps no other personality of his time used Scripture more, and even on an informal basis, as in his letters. This was a testimony given in my years in Rome, that who was a theologian of the saints, said he never met any saint who used Scripture more than he did. It would be of no small interest to read his letters of spiritual direction and to note the number of times that he quotes Scripture, often in Latin, and sometimes a little bit erroneously made a mistake here or there in words, not to speak of the many extended citations found in his sermons. He saw Scripture as a valid spiritual ally, one that was certainly the spiritual source of his hope. This is taken from Sermon 35, the Epiphany of 1806. This is really a masterpiece in which he seems to speak of a Christological constellation, which is a modern idea championed by Father von Balthasar, that Jesus Christ is a constellation drawing people in this migration or this reversal of the law of gravity, which people tend downward. And this is a, like throwing the anchor high into the sky that draws us upward. So he wrote on the Feast of the Epiphany in 1806. It's really one of his masterpieces, and I might say add on a personal level. My first contact with St. Gaspar's own writings was as a novice in 1950. Around the Feast of the Epiphany, my novice master, Father John B. Zalpa, gave the six of us, we were six novices, a slip of paper with a paragraph from St. Gaspar. We didn't know much Italian at that time, and he asked us to translate it and to tell what it meant to us. And that letter from them really inspired me to keep going. I think it's one of his most beautiful works. Anyway, here's a few snippets from it. From the Feast, his Sermon 35 and the Feast of the Epiphany of 1806. The Word of God is more worthy of faith than would be any demonstration or proof. Rather, in these matters of faith, Scripture is only a demonstration. Now, God has spoken. God has spoken once, we read in Psalm 62. That's Jesus Christ. He's also spoke many different ways in the prophets and the ancient fathers. And finally, he has spoken in his Son even more fully. The Holy Spirit has spoken to them, instructing them in all truth pertaining to salvation. As Christ tells us in John 16, I still have so many things to say to you, but they will be too much for you right now. But when the Spirit of truth does come, he will lead you to complete truth. We have the books of the prophets, says St. Gaspar. We have the book of the Gospels and the Apostles. We have the prophets, the history books, and the Gospels. This is the Word of God revealed in the Scriptures. We do have this Word in which God really speaks to us, as we read in Vatican II. We pray with our own words, but we listen to God in reading His. Therefore, what we do have to do, what do we have to do with these books of the world? In the Scriptures, we have not only what is necessary, but also what is good to know in order to be able to discern what is evil and to correct our ways to lift up our spirits. All Scripture is inspired by God and can be profitably used for teaching, refuting error, guiding people's lives, and teaching them to be holy, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is what the Apostle teaches. The Word of God in the Scriptures ought to be the rule of our thinking and our undertakings. If we really do want to know the trust to arrive at salvation and not the different systems, which vary so often and so much as these are presented by so many pernicious books of our world, do not let yourselves be carried away by different and strange doctrines. Paul himself warns us, do not let yourselves be led astray by all sorts of strange teaching. That's Hebrews 13, although modern scholarship would say that probably Paul most likely did not write this. At any rate, this is biblical spirituality shared with the laity by Father Bertone and is so much in accord with the spirit of Vatican II. As would be expected, he also preached this spirituality with special fervor to priests and seminarians in the years that he was the spiritual director of the Diocesan Seminary in Verona. And this is what he said to the priests on retreat and the seminarians. Scripture, therefore, is a ladder to arrive at the knowledge of God by means of faith. But one should not stop at the ladder, but continue to ascend upwards towards the Spirit. The ladder is the foundation of faith. It is necessary to build on this with hope in God and charity through works. How many priests bring the material of the ladder to build the houses of others. While the people often build in the Spirit on the ladder, the priest sometimes remains with the ladder, leaving the Spirit a desert. The priests often carry the ladder while others climb on it. They may often remain below, as happened to so many of the spirit directors of St. Teresa of Avila. It's really an admiration for the laity and their spirituality, many of them who really tried to listen to St. Caspar's spiritual direction and a challenge to priests and seminarians. Father Bertone brought a sense of urgency in his preaching to priests. It was a terrible time in the church. There was great division, great upsetment, and the church was divided, the hierarchy was divided. So he said, therefore, it is so necessary to approach the sacred book and to work for your salvation in fear and trembling, and work all the harder. Father Bertone saw sacred scripture as a basic means for any development in the faith. Again, this is his sermon on retreat to priests and seminarians. All scripture is inspired by God. St. Gregory the Great comments on this, that sacred scripture so surpasses the illustrious geniuses, even as so many illustrious individuals are inferior to God. They see nothing in that spiritual sublimity except that which is unveiled for them by divine condescension. No one is so far advanced in knowledge that he cannot progress even further. All human progress remains inferior to the height of the divinity which has inspired the scriptures. And this idea of progress was like a spur in the saddle of St. Gaspar. He did not want mediocrity. He hoped we would grow spiritually, juridically, theologically, in all ways. As Paul reminded Timothy, take care of yourself and your teaching, and the Lord will take care of you. So once Father Bertone described his own biblical experience as though he said he was standing looking at a vast forest on a very high mountain. At first sight, he writes, all seems equal. But as one enters into this, he is able to see the plains and the valleys that are hidden therein, and how much more is there to see than what appeared at first sight. This forest is sacred scripture. In order to make any progress, there is needed much humility in investigating the sacred papers. All that can be expressed is admiration for divine sublimity. And he went on, you study the scriptures, believing that in them you have entered eternal life. But these scriptures are testifying to me, said Jesus. If you really believed in Moses, you would believe me, since I was the one he was writing about in John chapter 5. Grant, O Lord, that we might be reformed and conformed to your teaching and example while making good use of the holy sacraments to which we obtain the strength to do this. In this spirituality of St. Gaspar, scripture is seen as an aid to the deepest sacramental life that St. Gaspar saw in all of this. Scriptures are a necessary means to become more familiar with God. He wrote, the study of scripture is necessary for the priest, both for his own life as well as that of others. It is here in the scripture that one comes to know God and Jesus Christ. So with the serious crisis in the priesthood in the time of St. Gaspar, there was a very real danger that a number of authentic vocations might be ruined because of faulty spiritual direction. Father Bertone presented a thought that is still often heard today. A spiritual director is a great help, and the scriptures too are a great help. Indeed, everything that was written long ago in the scriptures was meant to teach us something about hope from the example scripture gives of how people who did not give up were helped by God. It's a beautiful application of Romans 15. In a period in which, in his life of St. Gaspar, it was not uncommon to find unworthy pastors. He said, a mirror and measurement to discern the good shepherd are the scriptures. The people know this. The good shepherd is one who lays down his own life for his sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and the sheep do not belong to him, abandons the sheep and runs away. In so many letters of spiritual direction, St. Gaspar often sought to offer solutions that would arise in the light of sacred scripture. This has been described as his customary manner of acting to dissipate doubts and uncertainties in the minds and hearts of those seeking to make some progress in the spiritual life. Father Bertone deeply believed in the rich spiritual wealth that the scriptures afford. He offers his own litany of praise. in his sermons to the priests. The sacred scriptures, he said, well meditated upon, impart not only good ideas, but also suggest some order in accord with the way divine wisdom might suggest. The scriptures form one spirit, develop it, educate it, multiply and put order into one's ideas, perfect reason, rectify judgment, orientate reflection. So sacred scripture, one learns first to know God, his greatness and omnipotence, but one also learns to come to grips with the supreme duty of the creature, which is obedience to the Creator. He saw that one of the prime lessons of wisdom is that the creature really comes to know his place, a basic wisdom which is that of self-acceptance. And he said to the priest, a person who knows his dependence and his limitations on being taught and educated and formed by God knows that the truth of our intellect is in conformity with the order of divine wisdom made known to us in its works and wisdom. So the scriptures are a great teacher, a great pedagogue, we might say. As he said, scripture leads one to true humility in its very principle, which is to revere the majesty and the greatness of God. It teaches us all to submit our wills to it, reminds us to employ diligence in all things. For the apostolic mission, again, Father Bertone believed that the study of scriptures is a basic duty. The lesson of the sacred and spiritual books is love the study of scripture, and you will not love the vices of the flesh. The Stigmatine founder codified this in his original constitutions in number 52. Scripture needs to be studied in its entirety, first in the text itself and then in Catholic commentaries. He felt that the study of the scriptures was most necessary for the members, no matter what their specialization might be. And he emphasized the basic specialization for all of us should be sacred theology, the Word of God, and morality. And we read in number 58 of his rule, the competence of the congregation refers in the first place to the study of theology. To the knowledge of theology and of sacred scripture, the members of this congregation are to tend principally, even when some of the members might be occupied for more time in inferior disciplines, so that the members might be specialized and distinguished in theology and the scriptures in order to achieve the purposes of this congregation. So these are rather inspiring texts for this day and age. This is not something that's outdated. The beautiful Vatican II document, De Verbum, which tells us that the faith grows in the church by contemplation, by study, by heeding the magisterium, and then by lived experience. And certainly the Word of God is a central source of this experience of the mind and heart of God. Put on the mind of God, we are told. So we've seen a little bit how the Eucharist serves as a very special font of inspiration to St. Gaspar, and this now we've looked at sacred scripture. In our next conferences, we'll look at Mary as virgin, spouse, and mother, personal prayer. So we'll see those in our next reflections. Thank you very much for listening and for coming. Let us conclude now with the customary prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Pray for us, the Holy Mary and St. Joseph, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. St. Gaspar Bertone, please pray for us all. And thank you all for listening.